Quasi Saturn. All right. Where do we start? Bless my hearts in the word of prayer. Eternal God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we always want to thank you for salvation, for a Savior who loved us. He gave himself for us. We want to thank you for this opportunity to come together, to look into your infallible word. We pray that the things that are said today is beneficial to building up the edifice of sound doctrine and the mentality of the hearer, and that he walks in line with that truth. In your Son Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let me introduce myself. My name is Michael McDaniel from Westside Grace Ministries. We're a small ministry, like, you know, your ministry. I got started the first week of September 2005. Actually, we were started before then. My ministry got started off as a result, I was saved as a result of an argument I had with my wife. Because I came from the Church of God in Christ and she was Baptist. And I should have known that wouldn't work, because the Church of God in Christ and the Baptists were arch enemies. You know, we didn't get along, you know. So we was going through some things, and she said, well, let's get, you know, baptized. Let's take the kids, we go to church and get baptized. And I had came to understand some truth, not the right division or Pauline truth, but I understood that Israel program was no longer the issue. So we argued about the issue of whether or not the girls was going to be baptized. I said, no, it's not going to happen. She said, yes, it is. I'm taking them Sunday. I said, if you do, don't come back. And so it got to the point where we was arguing so much, you know, she had to get up early. And she was getting up like 6, 7 o'clock, but we would argue till 4. And, you know, she said, I have to go to work in the morning. I was like, well, we're going to get this issue resolved. No water baptism. So the short story is that she said, okay, I'll tell you what. If you can find just one person who see the issues the way you do, then I'll listen. So one Sunday, I was at home going through the channels looking for the religion station. Found a gentleman, you guys know Richard Jordan, he was doing the right division chart. Brought the issues up of baptism. We went out there. So I went and joined the same day I went out there. I joined Grace School of the Bible, went through his course, and I was attending R. Johnson Church on the South Side on 87th Street. For 6 years I was there with him. In 2005, I graduated from Grace School of the Bible. In 2005, I started Westside Grace Ministries. And so we've been out there, we've been there like 14, 15 months. Ministry is doing well. We have two TV programs. We're in the western suburbs on Channel 19 on Friday. We're in Chicago, but the schedule varies week from week. We have a radio broadcast on Sundays at 3:30. We have the internet ministry we have. And I started Westside Grace Bible Institute. I guess people say, well, you know, he didn't get out of school a year before he went and started his own school. But the reason I did that was because my goal is to help train other men for the ministry. And one of the things I felt very strong about was that if Paul says something, now this is not my message, but I just want to show you this point. Turn your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And it's something that I thought was very important as a minister we should be able to do. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And I thought it was a good thing that if you're gonna be in the ministry, it's no slap against Grace School of the Bible, because I graduated from there, I learned a great deal from them. But if he did his job well in training men, then I ought to be able to train men also. So we started our school. We have 6 students. We're in the second semester. hopefully they'll stay the course and, you know, get through with it. So our ministry is going pretty good. The radio ministry started off a little slow. We was on at 12 midnight. Didn't get much activities for the first 6 months. We moved to 3:30 now. And what a difference a time slot makes. Because now, before I can get off the station, I get calls, you know, about the materials and things. So that is going well. So we just hoping to extend the ministry and see the ministry grow. So I appreciate, I found out about your ministry through another great preacher in Ohio, Trent Cole. He had received some material from Brother Gary, and he called me up. He called me Bishop. He said, Bishop, I get this guy. He sent me some material. It's really good, you know. And I called him Preacher. The Preacher, now you got to send it to me. He said, well, I tell you his website. You can go order some. And I told him order, and so we got the material. And so what we use the material you guys sent us for, we have a monthly mailer every month. We send out like 300 pieces, and then we use that to reach the community. You know, we in Oak Park and Forest Park, and so what we do, we get the directory, and we mail out to that community where we have our meetings at, so they'll know about our ministry and what we believe. And that's been very helpful in getting the word out about our ministry and the grace message. So I appreciate greatly that what Gary does for us. Okay, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Okay, now when I, some things are a little different for me than you may find in the average grace preacher. I'm trying to develop. No, this is my first year. Officially only been pastoring for 1 year, September 2005. So I'm trying to develop a style. Okay? So I understand, you know, I thought like this. Okay. Sunday school, I would do more of a lecture type, you know. But morning service, I want to preach. And I thought I would develop both styles. I'm in the process of developing both styles. Now, my style may be a little different than you may be accustomed to, you know, being from the Pentecostal background. We kind of hoop a little bit. But I won't hoop today, but it's not so much of a lecture style as it is a preaching style. And so I'm developing them. Let's look at the issue. Now, what I want to talk to you about is what Paul calls in Colossians a mystery. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery, which had been hidden from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to the saints." Verse 27, "To whom God will make known what is the rich of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." So when I was thinking about that, I said, okay, there's a lot of mysteries in Paul's epistles. You know, well, the mystery is the developing truth. But Christ in you, is that really a mystery? Didn't the Old Testament scripture talk about Christ, the Spirit of God, dwelling within the individuals? Do you find any record of that? As Gentiles, we ought to be especially grateful. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 2. Let me show you why. See, nowhere in the Old Testament scripture do you have a record of the Spirit of God in the Gentiles. You can look at the Old Testament scripture and you won't find it. And the reason you won't find that is because what the truth you find in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 that started at verse 11. Paul says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hand. But at that time, he was without whom? Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Now, folks, you know, you can have a little hope, a bit of hope, but the Gentiles had no hope. They had no relationship with God. They was cut off from any activity God would have in their Gentile state. Look at Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Let's look at verse 14. Romans chapter 9, verse 4. Who are Israelites to whom pertain the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? All those things with Israel. And Israel had that special relationship with God, and the Gentiles, as we know, were far off. They had no relationship with God of that kind. If a Gentile was to be a part of anything that God was doing, he had become a proselyte. He had to take on Israel religion and adopt Israel customs and traditions. But Paul says the mystery is Christ in you, the Gentiles. Now, of course, that's foreign to the Old Testament scriptures. That's my point. It is foreign to the Old Testament scriptures. Turn your Bibles to Joel chapter 2. In the Old Testament. Now, we seldom, well, at least when I'm preaching, I seldom be in the Old Testament, and my members it's in the Bible, it's just in the Old Testament. We don't use it that much, but we do. But it's there. The Holy Spirit, according to prophecy, would have been in one, fall under one in two categories, in and on. Let's start at verse 27. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. Now notice what he says, he's in the midst of Israel. And that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my... Now what it says... Upon. Now the Holy Spirit was going to fall in one in two categories. Upon and in. And in either case, when it fell upon an individual or in the individual, the Old Testament prophecies was directed to Israel. There's no Old Testament scripture reference that the Spirit of God will be upon or in a Gentile. All the references is to Israel. Okay? Upon or in. So, when Paul says Christ in you is a mystery, guess what he means? It's a mystery. Because there's nowhere in the Old Testament or in prophecy that the Spirit of God will come up on or in a Gentile. Apart from him becoming a proselyte, apart from him taking on Israel religion and Israel custom and tradition. He couldn't have been a Gentile. And so, and with the host of the Spirit of God coming upon him or in him. You can search your Old Testament scriptures until you fall out. And when you come back, when you revive, you still won't find it. There is no reference to that. This is a mystery, according to Colossians, that God hid in himself that the Gentiles would have the Spirit of God in them. I looked at it, I said, when I first saw that, and this is amazing, because for 37 years, I was in the Church of God in Christ. And of those 37 years, I was in the same church for 30 years. Never heard anything like that. Because we was always under the impression that God's dealing always extended to all men without distinction. And when I came to understand right division and Pauline truth, that there was a division among Jew and Gentiles that we'll see again in Ephesians chapter 2. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. That this great division that we had been cut off from that relationship that Israel had with God, again in verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye been in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hand, that at that time ye was without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in verse 13 marks a radical change from what used to be to what is now. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one, has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. But as long as that wall of partition was erected, the Gentiles was afar off, had no hope and no possibility of an indwelling of the Spirit of God. All of those things was cut off from them. That was Israel's hope. That was a prophecy concerning Israel. And how you know that if you go to Acts chapter 2, where most people believe the church started in Acts chapter 2. And I make fun of my Pentecostal friends with this verse, because a lot of the activities you see in Christendom, you do not find anywhere in Scripture, whether it's the Old Testament, Paul, or the New Testament. You won't find it. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Imagine if we can get that today. Yeah? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were dancing, where they was jumping up and down, where they were sitting. The Spirit of God came upon those individuals, both, and it didn't cause a person to run up and down the aisle. You don't see that, right? Where is that activity found in Acts chapter 2? Well, I know when I was caring for the Holy Ghost, I'll never forget it. See, folks, I never was a pretender. I wanted to be saved. I understood hell was real and that the wages of sin was death. And I didn't want to go to hell. So I did what they instructed me to do. They said you have to have the Holy Ghost to go to heaven. And I know, well, if I have to have it, I need to get it. And they had a process by which you can get it. You fast for a week, and during that fast, you will call what they call carry for the Holy Ghost. So I did my fasting, and I came to church that Friday, and they had us on the altar. And I'll never forget it, Sister Smith and Sister McKinney. Sister Smith was telling me in one ear, son, hold on. And Sister McKinney was saying, son, give up. I didn't know whether to hold on or to give up. Because they both were giving me instructions. One was saying hold on, the other was saying give up. And the whole purpose, the whole design for that is that the Holy Spirit will come upon you or in you, because they didn't know the difference between the Spirit of God coming upon the person or in them. All they know is that if you get there and somehow, some way, the Spirit of God will overtake you and you lose control. And I wasn't one who would fake it, trying to pretend like something was happening that didn't happen. So I was there doing what they said, and nothing happened. So I walked away, and I asked the pastor, I said, well, you know I was sincere, but why is it that it seemed like the Spirit of God would get the person next to me or the person in front of me, but it never came in me or on me? And I found out when I became a grace believer why that was the case. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. And folks, this really liberated me to come to understand this truth. In Ephesians chapter 1, Let's start in verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye tarry, went to the altar, straighten your life up. None of that stuff, right? None of that stuff they told me I had to do to get it. After that ye believe, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of folks, and that's a non-experiential event. It won't cost you to hikabashata, none of that stuff. It won't cost you to do all that stuff. Now, folks, I was in that church, the same church for 30 years, and I've seen men and women every Sunday saying the Holy Spirit came upon them or in the way they thought it was. And it caused them to run up and down or out, and they all spoke in tongues. But it was amazing to me, they all said the same thing, hikabashata. I said, now where is that found at? Because you know, speaking in tongues is not gibberish. It was established language. But they all said the same thing. He coming in Cadillac. You know, they had the little phrases. And it didn't do anything to enhance their understanding of who God is and how he operates. The thing that we focus on at Westside Grace is two essential points. We want the people to know who God is and how he operates. Particularly in the dispensation of grace. And in the dispensation of grace, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But it won't cause you to jump up and down. It won't cause you to run the aisles. It won't cause you to lose control. But it's just as real. Paul says, you have it. So you have to ask yourself the question, well, how long, Paul? How long do I have this Spirit of God? We'll go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I love this verse. You know, when I first became a grace believer, I had a favorite verse. You all have your favorite verses, right? And it was 1 John. But then when I started to learn Paul, I kind of left John alone. I found Paul. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Let's start at verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. But no, let's start at verse 28 because you only want to get the flavor for it. He says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good that he may have to give to him that need it. Let no corrupt communication proceed out your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day you sin. No, it ain't until the day you sin. Today you slip and fall. You're sealed, folks. The Spirit of God. See, God has made this thing so secure that even if you lose your mind and say, I don't want to be saved, it's too late. Once you trust him, you know, we got to saying, once in, never out. He has made this thing so secure that even if you lose your mind and say, I don't want to be saved no more, I'm through with it. I'm turning my back on it. The Spirit of God, the third person of the Godhead, takes you and puts you in a living and inseparable union with Christ. And it can't be undone. It can't be broken. The Spirit of God is just the sealing power of the Spirit is just that great that you can't even undo it. Now, people say you can lose your salvation if you do this, if you do that. You know, I'm telling you, I come from a church that if you missed two services in a row, then you had to repent because you had backslide. And if you didn't pay your money, you had stole from God, so you had backslide. And there was never any security. Folks, we have God, the Godhead living in us. We're secure. The Spirit of God guarantees that. Paul said that the whole notion, the whole truth of the Spirit of God living and indwelling the Gentile was a mystery. You can't find that truth in the Old Testament. Because if you did, guess what it wouldn't be?
It wouldn't be a mystery.
It can't be a mystery if you can find it. Now go to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to show you this, folks, because anything that could be traced back to the Old Testament or the prophetic program is not a mystery. Start at verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Radically different from what you see Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. I'm sorry, if I told you one. My wife be paying attention. You know, because she's going to critique this on the way home, right? Every blunder, every mistake, she's taking notes. You remember? I remember when I first started off, I sweat like a convict. And I'd be drenching wet. And you should have slowed down. You should have. But she'll get me right. Before the end of the year, she'll make a great preacher out of me, I tell you. He says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you. Okay, now, Brother Gary, do you allow them to respond? Okay, y'all can respond then. It's okay. I'm a little different than the average grace preacher, because at my church, we do the interaction thing. And if I'm saying something and you can agree with it, or you do agree with it, it's okay to respond. And I got this little motivation kind of expression that I use when they're not responding. I'll say, I can't hear you. And then when they're not responding, I say, I can't hear anybody now. So I can't hear you. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the which is a secret, right? That's what the mystery is, the secret. It's not anything mysterious that you can't understand. It was something hidden in God, and he revealed it to and through the Apostle Paul. As I wrote it forth in a few words, whereby when you, it's not whereby when somebody whispers something in your ear, or you get this unction from the Holy One, or something come over you. See, folks want to do everything but breathe. I was talking to a young lady last night. Well, she's not a young lady. She's 61 last night. She's not a young lady. But she told me, she said, the Spirit told me, I said, wait a minute. How can you identify the voice that you heard to be the Spirit? Say, I can identify my wife's voice in the dark. I don't have to see her. I know who she is. I recognize her. But how can you recognize a voice to be the Spirit of God? Because I asked her this question, does the Spirit of God speak with a Southern accent or English accent? I told her, outside of the religious circle, you tell a person you heard a voice and you responded to it, what do they normally do? You get locked up with that kind of stuff. I said, the Spirit told you. I said, look, in the age of grace, in the dispensation of grace, we have a completed word of God. And God is requiring us to read, not listen to still small voices, the unctions, and all those other things people tend to allow them to guide them and give them direction. Paul says, whereby when ye read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Here's our point. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed by his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. If Paul says if it wasn't revealed, it was hid. Folks, if you can find that truth anywhere in the Old Testament, in the prophetic program, guess what? Ain't a mystery. Isn't it true that in Colossians Paul says Christ in you in the Gentile was a secret? So do you expect to find teachings in the Old Testament scriptures about the Gentiles having the Spirit of God in them? You should. If the verse means anything, if it's saying what it means what it says, then we can expect trace that information back to the prophetic program. Verse 7, well, I am made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power unto me who is less than least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable. The unsearchable. This truth about Christ in you, the indwelling of the believer, the Gentiles in the age of grace, you can't trace it back to the Old Testament. And again, we as Gentiles ought to be happy. No. Some things, it kind of amazes me that we kind of relax about this truth. Especially given what Ephesians chapter 2 says, that we was cut off from God. Had not a little hope. If you got a little hope, that's a possibility, right? But the Gentiles had no hope. And you see the radical change from what used to be to what is now. We have a relationship, an unbreakable relationship with God. We have access, well, according to Romans chapter 5 says. Look at Romans chapter 5. We have all looked at the radical change in our situation from what used to be to what is now. And this, for me, excites me. I'm excited about this truth. Romans chapter 5, just look at this access part. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have it. What do we have? Peace. Not trying to petition God for it, not begging God for it. We have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access, unbroken, uninterrupted fellowship, by this grace, by faith into this grace wherein we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And it's all as a result of, folks, of our faith resting in the completed work of Christ. And the moment you believe the gospel, you don't get saved and get the indwelling like they used to teach me. Down the road, you get saved today and sometime later on you spirit of God. Folks, the moment you believe, you are sealed. It's not a waiting period. You hear it? The moment you believe. Isn't that amazing for a Gentile who had all of this disadvantage at one point, now can say, I am indwelled by the God of him. Makes me excited. Because nowhere in the Old Testament, saints, nowhere in the Old Testament do you find Gentiles having an advantage. God promised Israel to indwell them. No mention in the Old Testament about Gentiles. Turn your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 11. The indwelling of the nation of Israel, folks, is not foreign to the Old Testament scriptures. Verse 19. Got it? And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit where? Within them. Now, you got what's important about this, you have to know what time and when is this going to happen. Within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh. Verse 20, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinance and to do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Okay, look at Ezekiel chapter 36. Start at 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Get it? And I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit where? Within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Once again, it's going to be in them. Now, on the day of Pentecost, did the Spirit of God come in them? On them. Bible students, on the day of Pentecost, did the Holy Spirit come in those believers or upon those believers? Upon. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God indwelling Israel, is a future event. Didn't happen on Pentecost. Read the account in Acts chapter 2. It didn't happen. Unless, if it happened, it's not recorded. I'll just put it that way. If it happened, he didn't record it. Go back to Acts chapter 2 so we can see that. Folks, we got a good deal. We don't have to wait. Acts chapter 2. Let's start at verse 1 again, because I still like to make fun of these people. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. You know, you like to point that out. Nobody was dancing. Sitting. And there appeared to them clothing tongue like as fire, and it said upon each of them. It wasn't in them. It came upon them. Right? The indwelling of the Jewish believer, the believing remnant, won't happen until they are back in the land of Israel during the millennium reign of Christ. Not before, not now. That's our truth. The truth of the indwelling of a believer, whether it's Israel or the body of Christ, was hidden in God. He didn't reveal that truth until he revealed it to and through our apostles. You want to take notes on these couple points. You can write them down. In Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19, I'll just read the portion. You can write it down and read the rest of it. It says, I will put a new spirit within you. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 again. A new spirit would I put in you. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27. I will put my spirit in you. A future event. Ezekiel 37, verse 14. And shall put my spirit in you. These prophecies is concerning Israel's future. Didn't happen on Pentecost. Hasn't happened as of yet. But it will happen. Turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 31. The indwelling of the believer is a New Testament promise. It won't happen until Christ is back and reign. Jeremiah 31, you know what it is? 31. Behold, the day cometh, said the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of America. No? It's not a house of America? Isn't that what all the TV evangelists are teaching and preaching? God made the covenant with the United States and Britain? Yeah? He's going to make the covenant. He's going to make his new covenant with the same folks he made his old covenant with. And that's not us. Behold, the day comes, said the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which covenant they broke, although I was a husband unto them, saying the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with, again, he's identifying the house of. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my law in their inward part. I can't hear you. And write it in their hearts. And will be their gods, and they should be my people. Listen to this part now. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall know me from the least of them unto the greatest of them, said the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. When that indwelling of that believer happens, guess what you won't have a need for? According to Jeremiah, there won't be no need to teach. Because every man is going to know. Do every man know the Lord today? Do every man walk in his statute and keep his judgments today? Well, according to Jeremiah 31:31, when they are indwelled with the Spirit of God, they have no need for teachers. Well, I'll read it again just in case you don't believe me. We'll read it again. Verse 34, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me from the least of them unto the greatest of them. He's going to write, the Spirit of God is going to write on their hearts and in their minds his truth, and he's going to cause them. The Spirit is going to cause them to walk in his judgment and statutes. Folks, the Spirit of God, the ministry of the Spirit, don't do that today. 2 Timothy tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly divide the word of truth. But we need to study. These people won't. It's going to be written in their hearts and in their minds. The indwelling, the ministry of the Spirit in that, at that program, in that age, will teach them, will minister to them. They will know it. We need to study to know it. We have the Spirit of God in us. It indwells the believer today. It won't operate the way it will in that day. And that being a great mystery that is even in us today, Gentiles, it's a great mystery. A couple things you want to know about that. This happens at a particular time in God's program. A couple things have to happen. Some events has to happen first. Christ will return with the armies of heaven in Revelation 19, verse 11 through 16. These things have to happen first before Israel have their indwelling. The armies of the Antichrist are destroyed. Write these down. Revelation 19, verse 17 through 21. Point three, the Antichrist and the false prophets are cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 19, verse 20. The devil is bound for 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verse 1 through 3. That has to happen first. Now, those things haven't happened. Right? So, the indwelling, according to prophecy, before the Spirit of God would indwell the individual, those things had to happen first. So that's why Paul could say the indwelling of the believer today is a mystery. There's nowhere in the prophetic program that it says when God would set aside Israel, he would turn to the Gentiles, and those Gentiles would have the Spirit of God in them. You can search the Old Testament, like I said, until you fall out. And somebody throw the water on you. Did you find it? No, it's fine. It's not there. It's a mystery. It's a secret. And that's just one of many mysteries that you find in Paul's epistles. We just briefly, we're going to go through a couple of those. Those mysteries. We read Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 through 27. We won't read that one again, but let's look at some other ones. Look at Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. See, because when you read the word mystery, you have to understand it's not mysterious. It's not something that you can't understand. It's something that was once a secret, but now has been revealed. When Paul says in Romans chapter 11, verse 25, he talks about the mystery. He says, for I will not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this secret. Because that's what the mystery is, right? Just like the mystery of the indwelling of the Gentiles was a secret, there were some other secrets God kept. Hidden of this mystery, that ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happening to Israel. Until when? Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, Israel being blind, was that a secret? Was Israel blindness a secret? No, it wasn't. Read the Old Testament. The prophets prophesied Israel blindness. So what was the secret? That God would be doing the work amongst the Gentiles. That's the secret. Not the blinding of Israel, but the work that he's doing amongst the Gentiles today. Particularly, the issue of the Gentiles having his spirit indwelling them. Romans 16:25. Because if you don't understand what the mystery is, what the secret is, you won't have a proper understanding of who God is and how he operates. See, the most evil doctrine that Satan has ever perpetrated on man is to teach them to be scriptural and not be dispensational. To say God said it, but not acknowledge who he said it to. You know, there's going to be a great deal of people in hell quoting Matthew. Hey, folks, you can believe Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you can believe it with all your heart, and you still die and go to hell. How could that be? Because that's not written to you. It's not written about you. It's written to you. It's not written about you. It's not for you. It's not your mail. It's like if you get my mail, well, it's all right if you get my mail because it's some bills. You get that. But if you got my mail and then that letter says, you have $1 million. Now, folks, you may rejoice about that. You may be happy about that. But guess who the $1 million belongs to? And when you read Israel mail, you may rejoice about it. But guess what God is saying? Who God is saying that to? That's easy, right? That's an easy thing to understand. Romans 16:25. Now to him that has power to establish you according to a gospel. The gospel. Why did Paul say my gospel? Why did you say my wife? My car? My house? Why did you say that? It's yours, right? And when Paul says my gospel, it was a specific truth given to him. And that truth you cannot find in the prophetic program. It was a secret. Like the indwelling of the believer today was a secret. 1 Corinthians 7. Make this 1 Corinthians 2:7. 1 Corinthians 2:7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a secret. That's what the mystery is, in a secret. Even a hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world to our glory. I love this verse. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. You know what that tells me? That had Satan known this truth, Christ could have been at this study. Because he wouldn't have let nothing happen to him. Trust me. He wouldn't have let nothing happen to him. Instead of me being here speaking, you would say, the next voice you hear would be of Jesus Christ. Clap your hands, please. He would have been here. Because Satan would never allow any. Because if Satan had understood it, the verse said that secret, that what God would accomplish through the death of his son, he would never allow his death. Turn your Bibles again to Ephesians 1. We read this earlier, but it's good to read again. Let's read it again. It's safe to do that, to read it more than once, right? Amen? Amen. So, Paul used the word mystery a few times in this passage of scripture. We're going to start again at verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you. Now, you know that's a radical change from what you see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? Because in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the emphasis is Israel. You know, but it's called, I, Paul, you Gentiles. Man, that's a real change. Ye men of Israel. House of Israel. All that focus is on Israel. But when Paul says he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ for the Gentiles, man, that has to be radically different. You remember in the Gospels where Jesus told the disciples, the apostles, they had 12 thrones they could sit on, they could judge the 12 tribes of Israel, and he had all these things for Israel. But why do you need a 13 apostle? If you got 12 chairs, 13 people, guess what you don't have? Enough chairs. Oh, you got to get rid of one of the apostles, right? For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, we know the Ephesians had heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. Paul is not questioning whether or not they heard it. But I do. I question whether or not the religious leaders of this day heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. How that by revelation he made known unto me, again, if you want to count the number of times that Paul used the word mystery from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. This is the first one. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, he says, where was I? 3. See, ain't paying attention. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, because it's important to understand the mystery, because one of the things we learned in this study, that the indwelling of the Gentile was a mystery. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote it forth in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles. Nowhere in the Old Testament scripture that you find the Gentiles being fellow heirs and of the same body. Nowhere. You understand that? Nowhere. That they will be fellow heirs and of the same body. That's a mystery. And partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Well, I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. But to me, who is less than least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles, again the unsearchable, the untrackable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. We have a responsibility and obligation to make all men see. Not make all men believe. It's a difference. We ought to make them see. We ought to have such clear understanding of what God is doing today that we can, as Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, if we can demonstrate God's program with such clarity as if they were standing there when Christ got crucified, and you could say, now this is what God accomplished by that, make them see it. And understand the Gentiles, understand that they have the believer, not just any Gentile, but the believer has such a relationship with God that the Spirit of God now indwells him. He's sealed, never to lose his salvation. Then that empowers him to serve God in ways that he couldn't do before. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning, see here it is, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things in Christ Jesus. If the mystery had been hid in God, and one of the principles of the mystery is the indwelling of the Gentiles, and he said all the mysteries, the truth of those mysteries, was hid in God. Folks, you're not going to find anything in the Old Testament scripture about the indwelling of a Gentile. Can't be found. If the verses mean what they say. But I know people say God says something other than what he means. Because if you read a verse to him, they say, well, he didn't mean that. I said, well, I'm so sick of God because he's always saying something other than what he means. The next one, mystery. Ephesians chapter 5. Because not only should we understand about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of the believer today, we should understand all those mysteries. Because it helps us, it enables us to educate. Because that's what the ministry ought to be. It ought to be a classroom. I told my assembly, if we ever got a building, it would be fashioned upon on the style of a classroom setting. Because I'm not here to entertain you. I can be entertained, I know that. But I'm not here to entertain. I'm here to educate, to inform. That's what we're here to do, inform. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31. For this cause should a man leave his father and his mother. This is one of the verses I always used to use against my wife. And she said, John, for this cause should a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife. And they should be one flesh. This is a great secret. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Another one of the things God held from man until he revealed to and through Paul. So there shouldn't be no secret or no great thing that he will pay on the issue of the indwelling of the believer in his age, Gentiles. Colossians chapter 2. We're going to end with this. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knitted together in love, and to all rich of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in which all the treasure of knowledge of wisdom is hidden. I think that's the way it went. But my point is with all that is that when you come to understand today in the dispensation of grace, as believers, you have the Spirit of God indwelling you. This is something that you should cherish. Particularly again, knowing where we came from. We used to sing a song in the church, look where he brought me from. Now, when most people think about that, they think about material kind of things. I used to live here, now I live there. I used to, didn't have this, now I got that. But when I think about, look what he brought me from, I think about being alienated from the commonwealth, yes, or strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But look where I am now, sealed into the day of redemption, having all my sins, my past sins, my future sins, in our presence, forgiven. Let's bow our hearts. Eternal God, we thank you again for this opportunity. We pray that what was said was beneficial and that we are like the Bereans. We search the scriptures daily to see if what was said was so. And if finding to be truth, it line up with your word by these dividing, we have the attitude of Thessalonica, that we receive it with all readiness of mind. We receive it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, that will effectually work in those that believe. We thank you for this gathering. Amen.